What I'm simply saying here is she could choose to be bitter. She raised four kids while her husband was out traveling all across America and different countries in the world. She taught Sunday school for years. Eighth grade was her favorite class. Because life changes were taking place in middle school. I'm just simply saying, folks, we all have different circumstances. And some of you have gone through things that I've never had to go through. And I'm not volunteering to go through some of the stuff I've gone through. But I'll go. Jesus himself was aware of what was confronting him in the coming days. The Bible says while he was praying, he sweat as it was drops of blood. And he said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." You see, Jesus asked the Father, "Can you release me from this, what I need to do, what I'm about to do?" But he says, "God, it's your will. Whatever your will is, that's what I want to do." And he knew he was heading to the cross. But Jesus could still ask God for favor. You can too. You can. The Apostle Peter encourages us in 1 Peter 5:6. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." I love Job. He's a powerful example for us. He lost all of his wealth. He was the wealthiest man in his whole area. He lost it all. It was stolen from him. All 10 of his children were killed the same night when the building collapsed. Then his health broke. I don't know, maybe you've had a heart attack or cancer, or maybe your bones are not supporting you like they're supposed to. Job knew what it was like to have a disease that was debilitating. And in Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, then Job's wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." Here's Job's response. "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Should we or shall we receive good from God? And shall we not receive evil?" In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Hannah or not. You ever hear of Samuel the prophet? Well, Hannah was an elderly lady who had had no children, living in a society in which if you were a married woman and didn't have children, it was obviously that God didn't love you. That was their conclusions. And so as the 20s became 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and 70s and she still had no children, it was agonizing for her because she loved the Lord with all of her heart. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us she would go to the temple and pray and pray and pray. As a matter of fact, the priest came to her thinking she was drunk because she would move her mouth but wasn't saying words. In other words, she wasn't making a scene. She just went there to pray. Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, she said, "I am a woman troubled in spirit." After praying and weeping before the Lord, she went away from the temple and was no longer sad. And though she was an elderly woman, God allowed her to have a son named Samuel. And she had dedicated, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him to the temple. And when he was 3 years old, he went to the temple and he was raised in a temple. And once a year, as his mama, she would bring a coat to him for the next year. Samuel, one of the more famous prophets of old, mothered by a woman who spent most of her life in grief, being ridiculed by her neighbors and family and friends because she did not have a child. Folks, the only difference between a holy complaint and a discontented complaint is this. In the one, we complain to God. A holy complaint is when you complain to God. It's okay. God, is this what you want? It's okay to complain to Him. He knows you. He was there when you were conceived. He was with you when you were in your mother's womb. He knows you by name. He loves you. He lets you speak to Him. And the Bible makes it clear, He will speak to you. It's okay to complain to God, but listen. The other option is when you complain about God. Don't go there. You don't complain about God, for now you're setting yourself up higher than God. You're setting yourself up as a judge, determining whether God is doing good or bad. And that's a place you really don't want to go. Well, folks, the bottom line is that contentment is a divine thing. It's a benefit and a consequence of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Wow. Contentment is also an essential thing. It arises from spiritual growth. It's not a part of your nature. It's a part of your spiritual nature within you. Contentment is also an habitual thing. It's a settled disposition of the heart, no matter what God does, no matter what He allows to go on in your life or in your family or in your job or in your community or whatever else. Contentment is the habit and complexion of your soul. My encouragement to you is simple. Choose contentment through Christ Jesus, not only as your Savior, but also as your Lord and Master. He is in charge. I am not judging God. Give God the freedom to direct you and to allow you to go through what He has planned. I was holding a revival years ago at the Indiana State Penitentiary, and every night they would allow some of the better inmates to come out. We hold a song service and a preaching service. And I noticed there's one guy that always came out carrying his Bible with him. And he'd help me make sure the chairs were set up right and all this kind of stuff. And after about the third night, I says, I've got to ask you a question. Why are you here? He says, I love the Lord, preacher. He says, I love the Lord with all my heart. But every time I've been released from jail, I go back home and there are so many decisions that I have to make that I get very confused and I end up messing up every time. And I've decided I'm a lot better off here in prison. I'm here to serve the Lord. I pray with my fellow prisoners. And he says, you know what? I know when to go to bed because they tell me. I know when to get up because they tell me. I know what I'm going to have for breakfast because that's what they give me. I know what I'm going to wear, what they give me. He said, I just love the Lord, and I'm very content to live out my days here, not because he had to, but he found out he could serve God even there. Does that make sense to you? That sounds strange, doesn't it? We'll prepare to close out, but there are so many individuals I could name for you who have been crippled or damaged and suffered in some insufferable ways, who chose to trust God over what was happening to them. And they come out living in victory in spite of the circumstances. And I'm just letting you know, that's not just for a select few. That's available to all of us. All of us. And I want to encourage you. I'm not putting anybody down. My goal is not to put anybody down, but to rather lift up your eyes from there's where your help comes from. And one of the things the Lord directed us to do as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we need to grasp the awareness that in the communion service, Jesus is serving us. Do you know that? It's his blood. It's his body. And he is sharing that with us. Jesus authored the Lord's Supper. He calls us to remember who he is, what he has done for us, and what he is doing for us. As we approach this holy time in a holy manner and with a holy thanksgiving for Jesus, who is our Savior and Lord, I appeal to you, allow the Word of God to ruminate, to be digested within your spirit, and see what God has in mind for you. We'll now have the Lord's Supper at this time.
As we prepare for partaking in communion, would you join me in prayer? Father, we come before you. We have an idea in our mind what communion is. We have an idea what has happened. But Lord, as we have this, please help it to sink deep into our hearts. He gave his life that we could have life. He gave it all that we could receive. To the disciples, he looked at each of them and broke the bread. This is my body. Took the wine and said, this is my blood. He shed it for us and did it freely. No strings attached or anything else on that. He says, here. So this morning as we partake, help us to remember it is done and all we have to do is receive. Guide and direct us all as we serve. In Jesus' name, amen. thank you for the word this morning. Hopefully it sinks deep within each and every one of us. Kim, do we have any announcements or anything? Wednesday night prayer for seeking a new pastor. Tom's or back to school blessing. The kids do need prayer every morning, whether they're in school, Sunday school, church, anything. They need the prayer. Receive it for our community. I know that Celebrate Recovery, I was going to ask Tom. He's already gone, so let's stand up and we'll close out with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you.